بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. In this series of talks concerning the subject how to understand Islam, we discussed in the last lecture the meaning of the Quran, and today inshallah ta'ala we will discuss the preservation of the Quran. And this is also very important because this tells us how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani in many ways, as He subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to preserve this book, this noble book. And it is important also in matters not only for us to understand it, but also to relay it to others, and also to defend the Quran concerning its preservation, walhamdulillah ta'ala, and use it in the propagation of Islam. The noble Quran that's in our hands and chests, and in the chests of the people today, is the same revelation which Allah sent down upon His slave and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, without omission and or addition. Allah sent it to be the last message and the book, and the final message and the book which supersedes all of the previously revealed scriptures. And this is very important for us to understand, that this book supersedes all of the previously revealed scriptures, and it prevails on them. So even if the Injil that was revealed to Jesus, to Isa alayhi salam, or the Torah that was revealed to Moses, to Musa alayhi salam, were to appear in their original forms today, then the Quran supersedes and prevails over all of them. And this is the final revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is really what counts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke of the Quran as وَإِنَّهُ لَكِتَابٌ عَزِيزٌ لَا يَأْتِيهِ الْبَاطِلُ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَلَا مِنْ خَلْفِهِ تَنْزِيلٌ مِنْ حَكِيمٍ حَمِيدٌ. It is an honorable and respected book. No falsehood can approach it from before it or behind it. Why? Because it's of Allah, it's Allah's speech, and He has protected from corruption. It is sent down by one who is all wise, تَنْزِيلٌ مِنْ حَكِيمٍ حَمِيدٌ, worthy of all praise. This is in chapter 41, verses 41 and 42. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a very clear promise that He will protect the Quran from any kind of corruption. قال الله تعالى إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Very, we have, without doubt, sent down the message, the dhikr, and the dhikr here really comprises both. And this is a point of benefit, a very important point of benefit, that the dhikr comprises both the Quran and the authentic sunnah. The Quran as well as the authentic sunnah. And may I remind the brothers and sisters in this room, if they will take notes, because we will ask questions, inshallah, at the end of this chapter, and so that, inshallah, it will be helpful for us to contemplate and remember and utilize this knowledge. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily we have, without doubt, sent down the message, a dhikr, and we will assuredly regard it from corruption. This is in Surah 15, verse 9. And after all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا وَعَدَ اللَّهِ حَقًّا وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. And who is truer in statement than Allah, as in Surah An-Nisa, Surah 4, verse 87. And in the other verse, 122, Allah's promise is the truth, and whose word can be truer than Allah's? It is the literal word of Allah, revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through the angel Jibreel. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam memorized it and reviewed it with Jibreel alayhi salam once each year and twice in the last year of his life. The Prophet ﷺ dictated it to his companions, who in turn memorized it, wrote it down, and then reviewed it with the Prophet ﷺ. The companions stood firm against any attempt to distort the Quran. They related to us through the past generations. It is an easy book to memorize. Some children at the age of 5 were able to memorize the entire Quran. It is very often that by the age of 10, Many children are able to commit the Quran to memory. It has been preserved in both the oral as well as written forms, the way no other religious book in history has been. The preservation during the time of prophethood. This is the topic of today. We talk about the preservation in general, but in particular we're going to talk today about the preservation during the time of prophethood Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. First of all, the way the revelation took place was easy to memorize and to accurately verify. In the hadith collected by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, Aisha radiallahu anha narrated that Al-Harith ibn Hisham radiallahu anha asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the following question: O Allah's Messenger, how is the divine inspiration revealed to you? Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, Sometimes it is revealed like the ringing of a bell. This form of inspiration is the hardest of all. And then this state passes off after I have grasped what is inspired. Sometimes the angel comes in the form of a man and talks to me, and I grasp whatever he says. This is in Sahih al-Bukhari. And also, it was preserved through the reviewing of the texts by Jibreel alayhi salam each year during Ramadan, during the month of Ramadan, the month of fasting. Imam al-Bukhari related from the way of Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that Allah's Messenger was the most generous of all the people, and he used to reach the peak in generosity in the month of Ramadan. When Jibreel met him, Jibreel used to meet him every night of Ramadan to teach him the Quran. So Jibreel used to meet him every night of Ramadan to teach him the Quran. Allah's Messenger was the most generous person, even more generous than the strong, uncontrollable wind in readiness and haste to do charitable deeds, alayhi salatu wasalam. And also in the narration reported by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that Jibreel alayhi salam, Gabriel, used to repeat the recitation of the Quran with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam once a year, but he repeated it twice with him in the year he died. In fact, in another narration, Fatima radiallahu anha reported that when that happened, that Jibreel repeated it twice with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam thought that the time of his death had approached. The Prophet so used to repeat the recitation of the Quran with Jibreel alayhi salam once a year, but repeated it twice with him in the year he died. So he used to study with Jibreel alayhi salam the Quran. Third of all, the preservation also went through recording and proofing also the revelation. The Sahabi Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu anhuma reported, meaning the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Zayd bin Thabit, reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be overtaken by a strong state of stress and would sweat so much when Jibreel alayhi salam descends upon him. So I used to enter with a piece of scapula bone and write the revelation while he dictates it to me. Upon finishing, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say, "Recite." Thereupon I recite, and if there was an error, he would correct it. Thereafter, I used to go out and take it to the people. This hadith is an authentic narration reported by At-Tabarani in his book Al-Awsat. And the people of the narration, those who narrated the transmission, are trustworthy. The fourth way of preserving the Quran: by restricting the writing to the Quranic texts in the beginning. This was in the beginning of revelation. Why? Lest the Quranic texts could be confused with the hadith ones, with the hadith narrations, with the hadith meaning the sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in fact said and warned in the beginning, "Do not take down anything from me, and he who took down anything from me except the Quran, he should efface that and narrate from me, for there is no harm in it, and he who attributed any falsehood to me. Okay, and the reporter, whose name is Hammam, said, I think he also added deliberately. I think he said, meaning the Prophet ﷺ, deliberately, meaning that, and who attributed any faults to me deliberately, he should in fact find his abode in the hellfire. This is in Sahih Muslim, volume 4, hadith number 7147. Afterwards, when the distinction between the Quran and hadith was evident, the authorization to write down the hadith was given. The fifth way was encouraging the learning and the teaching of the Quran. The Prophet ﷺ encouraged his companions to learn, teach, and memorize the Quran. In fact, he ﷺ used to choose those who had more of the Quran to lead the prayers, as well as the expeditions for jihad. In this respect, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. In the hadith reported by Imam al-Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best among you Muslims are those who learn the Qur'an and teach it. In fact, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed a young man to lead an expedition because he had more of the Qur'an memorized. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the members of the expedition recite what they knew of the Qur'an until he came to one of the young men amongst them and asked him, what do you have of the Qur'an? He said, I have such and such surah and surah al-Baqarah, and chapter 2 meaning. The Prophet ﷺ said, do you have surah al-Baqarah? He said, yes. So the Prophet ﷺ said, go ahead, you are then their emir, their leader in charge. This is reported by Imam al-Tirmidhi, who said it is a good hadith. And the sixth way, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used in the preservation of the Quran, was the strong faculty of memory of the Arabs then. And this is something very known in the history of the Arabs then, that they have this strong faculty of memory. And that kept it in the chests of men, and young and old. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So these are six ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made feasible for the preservation of the Quran. And these all were at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is very important to know, because after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are also other ways by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that are known to us, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved through them the Quran. And this will be, inshallah, the topic of the next talk. So the topic of the next talk, inshallah, shall be the preservation of the Quran at the time of the companions, Ridwanullah ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them all. And I would like you, inshallah, to do some quote-unquote homework, if you allow me to do this, or to say that. The preservation there at the time of the Sahaba took place through great occurrences. I would like you to find out these incidences, inshallah ta'ala, and maybe you can have, inshallah, some preparation for that when we come, inshallah, by the will of Allah next week concerning that. And check into the books of hadith, and inshallah you will find about these two incidences, and they were great incidences in fact that took place at the time of the Sahaba. First one in the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu an, and the second one during the Khilafah of Uthman. But I would like inshallah to prepare these two for the next talk inshallah ta'ala. So this brings the end of this talk regarding the preservation of the Quran at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And I will stop here, and will try inshallah to ask some questions, entertain some questions for the benefit of all, and maybe inshallah we'll have now the